Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of Untold, the story of the Jamaican community in Canada. This is a podcast produced by journalism students at Mount Royal University as part of the Community Podcast Initiative. This series explores the stories of Jamaicans to learn more about their culture and heritage and their contributions to Canadian society.
We'll talk to people about what it was like to leave Jamaica and how they've adjusted to life here, their successes and the challenges they've faced. We'll hear how they've shared their culture and knowledge with Canadians through food, the arts, business, spirituality, healthcare, and education. Many of their stories have been overlooked and untold.
I'm Stephen Zhu.
And I'm Jacob Mills.
And in today's episode, you'll get to hear from Pansy Hudson, a self-described global nomad.
She's lived all over the world, from her birthplace of Jamaica to the Cayman Islands.
Finally, after settling in Canada more than two decades ago, she has worked to create a space for herself and her community in her new home.
The CPI's Stephen Zhu and Jacob Mills hosted an interview for Hudson to tell her story about starting a new life for her and her family.
By sharing her experiences, we explored the hurdles and pitfalls of living and learning in new places, as well as the unique opportunities that come from her lived experience. What was it like coming to Canada alone?
It was a challenge because I wasn't sure what I was about to receive in the sense of the difference in culture, the difference in atmosphere, and the difference in the place I'm used to living. So coming to Canada for the first time was a little bit, I don't want to use the word challenging because it can be a strong word, but very, you know, on a different stage of exploration, let's put it that way.
So what were the biggest differences that you saw coming here for the first time?
Well, lots of differences in the sense that I'm coming from a tropical country. I came here just in September when the weather is changing, the leaves are changing. Yes, fall is beautiful. Never seen colors like that back home. But at the same time, it was right in the time when, although it's the beginning of fall, we could have had snow. So coming here, where it was cold, I had to adjust to new clothes. I had to, the first time I saw snow, it wasn't even snow, it was just flurries, because comparing to what I know now, I called all over the world that I had family, you know, just to tell them about, you know, oh, it's snowing, when it was just flurries, taking pictures, dressed up in my coat and everything, because I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. But it was, looking back now, I'm like, it was nothing, right? Yeah.
I guess coming from somewhere where snow is not really a thing, I would guess, it would be pretty shocking.
Absolutely.
So what was it like on that first day when you got your first real snowfall, like a proper blizzard?
Well, that was something I didn't know how to navigate because I didn't have winter boots, right? Because I wasn't fully prepared. I had a jacket, but it wasn't warm enough. But at the same time, I was dressed up in layers and layers and layers because I thought it was going to be, I didn't know what snow, what a blizzard looks like. And so I went to school and, of course, I was overdressed because once you get inside, then you have to all start pulling off the layers. And one of the things I ensured I did, I lift up all my clothes because I had on a jacket, I had on sweater, I had on an under jacket under, I had on a pants under my jeans, and I had on socks. And so when I got to school, I had a locker, because I came to university straight from home. I had a locker and I took off all my clothes and I had to wait. I'm like, oh my God, I had so much clothes on, so.
What inspired you to go into tourism and environmental management?
Well, I lived in Jamaica and all my professional life in Jamaica, which wasn't very long, but I was in the hospitality industry in Jamaica. Worked in the food service industry and did some courses at the University of Technology, and then I moved to the Cayman Islands where I managed a bakery for many years. And during that time also, I worked a little in the tourism industry. And I was always interested in, you know, meeting people from different places, seeing how tourism work in different places. And so with that, I decided on coming to Canada to do tourism and environmental management at Brock University. And that's where I studied and got more inclined to, you know, meeting people, seeing how the rest of the world not only think about Canada, but how their culture is different from ours.
So. You have like a specific place in Canada that you've been to already, I guess, touring around Canada. So like anything that you really, really think like, wow, this is like amazing, like perhaps like Banff or...
Well, I think we're living in Calgary, which is close proximity to the Prestine Mountains. And so with that, when I go there very often, and although I go, I'm still in awe with the mountains, how beautiful it is. I mean, we have mountains back home where I'm from in Jamaica, but we don't explore those mountains, and it's not like here. So, you know, sometimes you go in winter, and although it's cold, the beautiful snow that comes off the mountains. And then in the summer, you can see the greenery and all that. So it's very interesting to see all the different, what you would call it, the different seasons change and how things, all they look differently. And so, you know, it's just beautiful.
So what kind of differences do you see in the tourism industry in Canada versus the places you've lived and worked before?
Well, of course, the places I've lived and worked before, it's tropical. So you have the beaches, it's more resort-like compared to Canada where it's more, you'd call it boutique hotels and stuff like that. So you don't have the tropical vibes. Right. It's still beautiful, but the tropical vibes is just different. The things, the music, the food, right? It's everything is more North American, and it's just a different culture. It's a different landscape, basically. So you're going to see mountains, you're going to see different seasons. Back home, it's mostly the rainy season or the beautiful sunshine and the beaches.
So then what made you choose Canada after living somewhere tropical? What made you want to go here for that tourism and environmental management?
I had the opportunity to go to England. I had the opportunity to go to US, but I just feel like Canada is more family oriented. I think it's fast paced, but it's less fast paced than other places. And so I think that, you know, I think I like how Canada deals with family. Oh, it's more culturally diverse. It's you have different types of people here, and so you're able to intermingle with different culture.
You said you studied in Jamaica to start off at a technical university there. How was the education different coming to Brock after you moved?
Well, I think Jamaica education is, if I want to use want of a better term, rigid, in the sense of to get to university, you have to have a certain amount of A levels and O levels, and you have to be a certain amount of subjects. To get to Canada, you just need an associate degree, right? And so an associate degree will give you the credits to come to Canada. When you get here, also, you have those credits that they can knock off your actual course that you're coming here to study. So it's much, I think it's a little bit more lenient studying here.
How did your journey take you from your education in tourism, environmental management, to your current role today in supply chain management?
Well, I think, you know, supply chain management is something that we all do, whether we understand it, yes or no. because supply chain management is just the way our goods move from the manufacturing to the end user. You're the end user, so you're going to buy something right now. You're going to want to know where to source it and how it's going to get to you. And when it gets to you, sometimes you have to think about the aftermarket and all that. So regardless of what industry you're in, supply chain management is a part of the industry. So whether it was tourism, you know, they're going to be marketing from different parts of the world, or they're going to get products from different parts of the world, supply chain management is in everything.
What kind of challenges did you face when you first moved to Canada?
I don't know if I want to use the word challenges, but yes, let's
say roadblocks,
yes,
or obstacles,
yeah.
Right?
So first of all, there is social isolation, where, and I'm going to talk directly for myself, is that I moved to Canada by myself. And so when I moved there, I didn't know anybody, right? So there were days where, so back home in Jamaica, if it rains, we call in to say we can't come to work or we can't do any activities because it's raining, it's time to stay in, right? So when I got here and it was a rainy day or a snowy day, I was happy because it's like in my head, oh, you don't do anything. And so I was happy for that. When it's sunny, I felt like I needed to go out. I almost get into the point of depression because I want to go out. I don't know anywhere to go. I don't know anybody. Market, when I came from, I didn't leave Jamaica directly. I lived in the Cayman Islands for many years. And so in the Cayman Islands, which is also a tropical country, on Sundays it was a ritual. We get on the beach, whether we're barbecuing on the beach or we're just meeting friends for a drink on the beach. It was always sunny and nice. So when I got here and then it's right in fall/winter, and I don't know anybody, or I didn't know anybody, then what do I do now? What do I do with myself, right? The other challenge that I faced was professional integrity, in the sense of, you know, when you come here, there's a thing called Canadian experience. Right? It doesn't matter where you're coming from, what profession you have, you might have to start at the bottom of the barrel because they're looking for Canadian experience before you think about getting to where you are. So you have to come with the mindset that you are going to take a menial job, a job with low income, and then with that job with low income is a domino effect where you want to live in a certain lifestyle or live in a certain places, and you can't afford that, right? So you have to kind of downplay where you live and just have the mindset that eventually you'll get to where you want to, but at the moment, it's what it is. The next one is cultural adjustment, right? Where you have to start assimilating with the culture. Getting to know how people do things differently, and because if you have to find your sense of belonging. So if you're gonna choose to feel like you belong in a certain group or belong in a certain environment, you can't just bring on your culture that nobody else knows about. So you have to learn to know your environment and see how much you can learn what's going on around you. And so the other thing was loneliness, because I came here alone and I didn't have, you know, that family support and all that. A few years after I moved my kid here, he was 6 years old. I remember I'm going to work and I have to ensure that I get to the daycare early in the morning to drop off that kid and this daycare is gonna bring my kid to school. And then I'm rushing home to get my kid. And if I'm late, I'm gonna be paying extra money for them to keep my kid until I get here. So all those were, you know, the challenges, which I'm sure it's not just me. A lot of other people, whether you're coming from Jamaica or anywhere else, those are the challenges that immigrants face when you're coming here for the first time.
So what was childcare like for you when you were in Jamaica? Like, did you have the same issues of dealing with daycares?
No, because there's family. There's family support. You can always leave your kid. There's an auntie or an uncle. There's a biological auntie. There's an auntie that's just honorary auntie or uncle that's going to keep your kid. Here, you hardly know your neighbors, right? And so you just chuck off your kid to the neighbor. I mean, the only good thing is that you make friends with the kid's parents, where you can say, okay, can I leave my kid here for a few, or the kid will say, can I have a sleepover or something, and it will give you a little break. But
so did you find that you were able to build a community like that in Canada very fairly quickly, or did it take some time to get those social connections going?
It's hard. It wasn't as easy to build a connection because, first of all, there's cultural differences. Yes, your kid comes to school and he's learning quickly because they are sponges. They suck up the culture. But as an adult, it takes, you were raised in a different way. You weren't, in Jamaica, it's not really cultural for kids to say, I'm going to have a sleepover. Right? So when your kid, when you get here now and your kid say, Mom, can I have a sleepover? You're like, what, a sleepover? You're not used to that, right? So you have to be that parent who is very receptive and see things differently for you to say, yes, okay, you can have a sleepover. Or most times you'll say, your friend can come and have a sleepover, but I don't trust you going to have a sleepover. So, you know, it takes a while for you to get into the meat of how you want your kids to grow and how it's what's going to make your kid happy, and at the same time be aware of where your kid is going.
That's very fair. I feel like that's happened to me before. Like, I asked my parents if I could sleep over somewhere else, but they won't let me because they don't know them. They ask their parents, but they don't know my parents. Yeah. It goes both ways.
Yeah, so yeah.
I've definitely experienced that from the perspective of a child. It really sucks. You just want to go and see your friends, right?
Yeah.
How did you end up in Calgary? Because if I'm correct, Brock University's in Ontario. It's kind of far. How did you end up here?
I want to call myself a nomad. I'm kidding. So during the time when I was going to Brock University, I had a friend who, her and her family moved here from Cayman Islands as well.
Here to Calgary?
Here to Calgary.
Okay.
Her husband is from Calgary, but they met in the Cayman Islands, and they lived in the Cayman Islands for a while. And during that time, as an international student, this was really hard because international students pay three times the amount of tuition that Canadian students pay. So they were kind enough to invite me down on the summer holidays, on the Christmas holidays. So I came down and I was working here. So Calgary was where I got my first real Canadian work experience. So right after university, I decided to move down here. I wasn't planning to make Calgary my home, but at the same time, I was open to the possibilities of wherever it's going to take me to. So I've been here like 21 years now.
And wow.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Time moves fast. Can you tell me about your first, I guess, Canadian job?
My first Canadian job, I worked, well, I was working in Brock in their library as just a student job. But my first real outside job was working here on the tennis court. So I worked at one of the tennis courts here in Calgary during the summertime. And I also worked at a cheese company. So I had to work enough money during the summertime to find enough tuition to go back to school. So I'd work like, go to work 6 o'clock to 2 o'clock, 6 a.m. to 2 a.m., and then leave work 3:30 to 11, just to make sure that I have enough cash to go back to school at the end of the summertime. So, but work was fun because it was mostly in the summer. It was, you know, working on a tennis court, you get to meet a lot of people. I was really fixing as soon as a team comes off, then I go take that thing that they use to level off the sand again and again, and especially when they had tournaments, that was rough time because it was lots of work to do, but it was I think it was fun. So that was my first job experience here.
So what was it like going from somewhere where you were a little bit more professionally established to having to start back at the bottom again with those, like, you mentioned more menial type jobs?
It's called mindset. So if you don't have the mindset, you're going to get depressed. And you have to live, right? So if you're coming to Canada for the first time thinking, because I was a bank manager, I'm going to get up to be a bank manager when I get there, it's not going to work. So it's going to make you depressed. It's going to make you sick. It's going to make you lonely. It's going to make you ask your questions, why am I here, when you have already uprooted yourself from Jamaica? How do you start over? Do you just go back home, or do you look at the long haul, look at the big picture? So, you know, I had to just adjust. At the same time, I knew I was going to school. So with that, I didn't have, like, loan or mortgage or whatever to pay. So I know the big picture would be when I get out of school, I would have had my Canadian experience. I might not get the job that I want or the salary that I want, but it's a growing experience, and you navigate that and know that, you know, every experience is worthwhile, so you can get to where you want to be.
What helped you keep your eye on the future instead of making that choice to go back to Jamaica, back to somewhere familiar?
I believe that everybody should live, learn, and grow. And so with the future, you want to be able to reach a stage where you can start thinking about self-actualization, which means that you are going to work your way to a certain level. You know, you want to live a lifestyle, which is, I still haven't gotten to that lifestyle yet, but I'm still working on it. And then I had a kid, right? So I have to set the example for my kid. I have to be able to support him economically as a single mom. And so am I going to put my head down in the sand and just be sorry for myself, or am I going to go out there and make things happen?
Did you know someone from Ontario who also, you know, moved to Calgary, or?
Actually, no. So I was living here since 2009, and I didn't do much when it comes to getting out there. And so I had a business where I decided to navigate how I'm going to create marketing for myself. And it was a rum cake business. So we're used to that from back home, right? So I started searching for different marketing opportunities, and I came across the JCAA, where at that time they were having a major event called the Taste of Jamaica. And so I decided to apply for a booth at the event. And so that's how I found this. I'm like, okay, I didn't know this exists. And since then, I've been a part of the JCA because, you know, I like the events. I like sometimes being around my own people where I can talk and be my own self.
It started out as a marketing opportunity for you to help grow the business you were working with at the time. What made you make the choice to start helping the JCAA with their own stuff instead of just using it for the marketing that you wanted to put your booth out for?
Well, you know, the JCAA, their mandate is, you know, creating cultural awareness for the Calgary / the Alberta population. It's not just for Jamaicans. It's for, because it says Jamaican Canadian Association, so everybody can come in and intermingle. But, you know, just to see the kind of events, just to see their presence in the community, and just to be a part of that environment where if I come and I can talk my culture, I can talk my language, and everybody knows what I'm talking about, or I can do something cultural and everybody knows what I'm doing, makes me feel a sense of belonging, right? Makes me feel a sense that I can be myself in just being in another environment where it's nice to, you know, intermingling other culture and to see other people, how they think and breathe and do everything. But to just come into your own little clique and just do things that is gonna resonate to the people around me that understand. So for that, I feel like coming to the Jamaican Canadian Association feels like another home away from home.
So what kind of work does the Jamaican Canadian Association do to bring Jamaican culture to, and introduce Jamaican culture to Canadians, people who might have never experienced that?
So we have lots of cultural events. We have heritage events such as there's the Black History Month, there's the Independence, Jamaican Independence celebration. There we have also the Caribbean sports events where we bring our own cultural sports into being. Then also we have things like how they promote education, like we give scholarships every year. Right, so those are things that we're out there just trying to create a benefit, but trying to create awareness. And not only that, but services where if we can identify service for other people, where we can recommend, we have businesses in the community where we can help to recommend other people to different businesses, or also help to grow our own little economy as well. So yeah.
So how does Jamaican food made by Jamaican-Canadian immigrants compare to the stuff that you'd get back in Jamaica?
Well, I believe that when you get the stuff in Jamaica, it's more authentic because it's the real seasoning, the real food, compared to here where it might get a little tailored because you're talking about, you know, it might be, if it's a product that is packaged, you might have to kind of tailor the ingredients to match the regulations, or if it's real food, it might have some form of preservatives, while in Jamaica you're getting it straight from the soil, you're getting everything natural. So it's, they try to do their best, but I'm sure we as Jamaicans, when we go, when we're going home, we look forward to the food because it's a real thing. So comparison is a little bit tweaked. It's a little bit more fusion here than back home.
So what kind of work do you do specifically with the JCAA to help with that message?
Well, I am always involved in whatever volunteering activities going on. I'm always there. I'm always ready to jump in and get my feet or my hands or whatever dirty. So there, we have different types of events through the year. So we have our spring dance, we have our karaoke, we have Mother's Day brunch, we have end of summer brunch, we have one in July called Grab and Galang, where we just cook and people come to buy meals. Then we have the New Year's Eve ball, which I think is one of the best balls in Calgary to ring in the new year. So I'm always involved in that. I am a part of the building committee where I help to oversee what's going on, give ideas, and it's a committee, so we all get together to brainstorm what to do and all that. So I want to consider myself a very active member of the JCAA.
So where do you see yourself in the future, both in your personal life and with the JCAA?
I want to make JCAA a part of whatever I do all the time. I think, as I said, it's a way of just unwinding, just getting, just mingling with your own people. So I want to always be a part of that. I know we are always in the challenge to, you know, getting volunteers, getting younger volunteers. And sometimes it feels like people feel like, oh, only because you're a Jamaican, you should be a part of, but we want to encourage everybody just to come in. So I want to always be there. In my personal life, I don't know where I'll be in another few years. Who knows, right? The sky is the limit. I, as I said, I'm a nomad. I'm ready to whatever. But regardless of what, the JCA will always be a part of me.
Well, I guess more specifically then, if you don't see yourself anywhere, if you're a free spirit, a nomad, is there like some sort of dream or aspiration, perhaps not necessarily in the next couple of years, but I guess for the rest of your life, that you're continuously striving for, like maybe like a dream that you would like to see realized and that you're continuously working towards?
Well, I don't know if there's a specific dream itself, but I have a young son that I just want to see get to a certain stage in life, and he's working towards that. And so I just want to continue my profession. I just want to be in a state where eventually I'm going to have another business where I'm more, not only financially independent, but not having corporations controlling my life. And so my dream is to have that kind of independence going into my retirement age.
I think that's the goal for most of us.
Yeah, that's a really good goal, yeah.
Yes.
Sounds like something I want to do.
Yes.
So before we wrap up here, is there anything else you'd like to touch on or go back to that you think would be a good final message?
Well, I believe that when you're coming to a new country, you have to make sure you do your research. Make sure that when you get to wherever you're going, you don't have a shock of your life, whether it's going to be culturally, whether it's going to be emotionally, financially, or professionally. Ensure that you do your homework. Ensure that you know you are aware of what's going to happen. Things come unexpectedly, right? But make sure that whenever anything comes, you're able to navigate it. Also, ensure that you find people who you at least can be able to share certain part of your culture with.
Is there anything you can say to the youth who have big dreams like yours, who want to move abroad, who want a better future for themselves? Is there anything that you can say?
Yeah, I want to say the world is at your fingertips now. Compared to when I was growing up, if I was 21 again, I would be roaming the world, because I think just traveling alone is education in itself. And so it's important to see what's going on. We are all global beings now. It's not like years past where you have to be figuring out. You have information at your fingertips. Why not go out and get yourself? I'm not saying everybody is going to be assertive, but you have to find that channel that's going to make you get out there. So make sure whatever you're doing, always be aware that in the future it might be of benefit to you.
That's Pansy Hudson, Supply Chain Manager and member of the JCAA.
Thanks for listening to Untold, the story of the Jamaican community in Canada, a podcast produced by journalism students at Mount Royal University in Calgary as part of the Community Podcast Initiative. I'm Stephen Zhu.
And I'm Jacob Mills. This series was produced on the lands of the Niitsitapi Blackfoot, Eyahe Nakoda, Tsuut'ina, and Métis peoples. We recognize the stewards of these lands and the knowledge they bring to our understanding of authentic storytelling.
Special thanks to Dr. Marva Ferguson and the Jamaican Community Association Alberta, who have been so supportive in helping us put the series together.
Be sure to subscribe to the show to hear the latest episodes and to discover new podcasts from the Community Podcast Initiative on our website, thepodcaststudio.ca.